When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready for a great classic podcast?
JBTV, the respected name in music TV.
These are podcasts that no one has heard in many years. This is the JBTV podcast series, The Classics.
JBTV.
In the year 2013, Filter performed live on the JBTV HD stage. Now, along with Lauren O'Neill and myself, Jerry Bryant, we're going to give you an exclusive interview with Filter and then an extended set of live music as Filter performs on our JBTV HD stage. Here is Filter, the interview from 2013.
This is it. Haven't you ever been on JBTV? This is the real shit.
It started rolling yesterday.
Yes, and since the last time you were here, you promised, and once again, you came through with the word. You said you're going to come on the show and perform live, and you did it. And the last time you were here, The Trouble with Angels.
I know.
We put it up there, and it has not moved. So every interview, it has been right there religiously.
There it is.
Yeah.
Represented.
Yeah.
She's crying still.
But now you have a new album out.
Yeah. We do. It's called The Sun Comes Out Tonight, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It's better than that one.
Yeah.
You know why?
Better.
Because you know why? Chicago's own right here.
Yeah. The new addition to the band, a Kill Hannah transplant. Now, how did this happen?
Well, we'd known each other for a number of years just from, you know, Chicago and mutual friends. And their guitar player a couple years ago, there was an issue and they needed somebody last minute. And came in, started working with the dudes, and it's been like that ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's extremely gifted, and I was like, wow, well, let's get together and write some songs, and then it turned out to be great. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we started working on some more demos and getting our stuff together, and we worked with Bob Marlette for a few songs. And Greg Wattenberg got interested. He goes, why don't you try and write something that's like just a total hit, like kind of go back to your sound that's like the old days.
And yeah, just write a hit.
Yeah,
well,
this filler.
But I like something dawned on me, like catchy is what they're talking about, because that, you know, like here I am fucking way into my career, like like 20 years into my career, and I'm like, catchy, like that's why I say, hey man, I shot, like that's the line. So we just started thinking about songs in that way and hooks and stuff like that. And the next thing you know, we wrote a bunch of stuff, and he was like, you're signed, let's do this, let's let's put it out. And so Wind Up's a huge is the other component, Greg Wattenberg personally, and of course Ed and all those guys, everybody that put, you know, puts everything together. Drew, I know you know Drew. So but yeah, that was it's the trifecta, and we took a lot of his attitude and put it into our our work as well.
So. He was commenting about the photo back here, though.
yeah, where is he?
Yeah, in the photo here,
you're standing just to the right when the picture was taken.
His eye?
Yeah,
he's cute.
Well, just it's kind of. I mean, the reality is, in Filter, and I hate to say this, but Filter started off with me and a little Macintosh classic Mac. And
do you still have that Mac?
I do.
Yeah?
I don't know exactly where it is, but I do have it.
Because now this is Filter history, so you're going to have to put it under like glass and have it as part of the museum, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The archive.
Right there with your lightsabers.
Right. But they... But, you know, and then it was... And then I kind of worked with some people, and then all of a sudden... I had this demo, and I was in Nine Inch Nails, and I had this demo, and Warner Brothers and Atlantic Records and everybody, they're like, this is the shit. And I'm like, okay, cool. And they're like, well, this is great. What are you doing? I said, well, it's, you know, it's drum machine and, you know, bass and guitar and some sound design. And they're like, so this is a drum machine? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, wow, man, that's far out. So why don't you just keep it that way? Because we like it that way. And I'm like, Like, really? Because it's a lot easier. I don't know any drummers. I mean, Jeff Ward, I don't mean this as a joke, but Jeff Ward had just passed away, and I didn't know anybody. And, you know, I'm in Cleveland. And so it's this project, you know, Filter's this project that starts in a computer. It's written on guitar and kind of start and goes into the computer. And we add stuff, and it kind of works incongruent with production. You know, it's not four dudes in a rehearsal hall jamming like Stone Temple Pilots was. Army of Anyone was like that. It's four dudes getting a thing, and everybody mixes ideas and writes. And even they actually kind of wrote with the computer as well for some of it. But it's not a band. So to say that, like, you know, I kind of got myself in some trouble with some of the other records where it was clearly me in the gear. And, you know, Gino at one point, he had really done a lot of work into it. And so it was like, I can't give credit to, because the drums are, you know, the drums are fake and the, you know, and the, not, I don't want to say fake, but programmed and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I just, instead of kind of mixing the world of everything's one band and everything's one thing, it's more like Nine Inch Nails. You know, that's where I came from. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the studio project, and then it's the live band, and the studio project changes with every record because even on this one, Johnny's new, but we used some new sound design guys that we like. That we, what are those guys called? The duo,
Michael and John.
Yeah, Michael and John,
based out of New York.
Yeah, and these guys just were literally adding a bunch of overdubs, and like we were like, yeah, that sounds great. So we've got this like team of people all over the country working to get to the level,
the sound that you want.
And to say that it's like all four of us, because it's not. So, and the other big fucking problem is that we keep running out of drummers. we can't seem to hang out with drummers very well.
Uh-huh. You're just running them into the ground. I mean, that guy is working his ass off back there.
Yeah, and he's doing a good job at it.
He's really good. We had Jeff Friedel, who's in like a bunch of other bands, and so his schedule is crazy, and we were thinking like that would be more of a writing kind of collaboration, not true, because he was out making a living. And so, and then I had seen, you know, I'd seen Sound City, and I was kind of thinking to myself, like, I kind of like the technology, and I agree with there should be drums on some stuff, but, you know, the thing that got me going was the record company going, that's a drum machine? And, like, you know, and, like, the punk element of, yeah, that's not a real guy playing drums. That's our programming, and that's what we like about it, and that's what they liked about it. So we kind of went back to the attitude of, you know, I mean, Moby had heard Short Bus, and Moby's like, it took me three listens, and then I realized you can't play cymbals and 16th notes, you know, all at the same time. We had 17 tracks of cymbals, you know, like 17 different performances of cymbals for Hey Man, Nice Shot. And like, he was like, damn. I'm like, yeah, it's electronic, but it's rock. It's grunge, you know, at the time. So anyways, the thing is, Johnny and I are the main contributors to the record, this record, and you know, and Jeff's brand new, and Phil's right there, and he represents the live band. And
the good news is that these guys, when they do the record, obviously he's saying the drums are programmed. The bass on the record was played by Johnny, who's a guitar player, so he's coming at it from a guitar player's perspective. So when you make it a live thing, you got, I mean, I'm actually a bass player. I'm not just a guitar player who wants to play bass. And you got Jeff, who's a kick-ass drummer.
Right.
So the live stuff, even though we're playing the same songs, it gives it a whole different dynamic. So it's not like you're going to hear the record. You're not going to hear it, you know, directly off the record. I mean, I take what Johnny did on the record and I embellish it a little bit with just bass player mentality. I mean, it might be something subtle, but it's a feel thing, or it's, you know, slide up to an octave or something that he may not have thought to do.
Right.
And it just, it makes it, you know, something special, not just listening to the record live when, you know, we're playing.
Right. Yeah, well, I gotta say, today was such a great show.
And I have a lot of respect for Phil because, you know, that's exactly what I did in Nine Inch Nails. I was like, Trent had the record already done. My job was to be piggy and fucking go crazy and drink beer and throw shit at people. And that was actually kind of developed because when we first started playing, no one came. So it was, So like we were just like throwing beers at each other out of boredom, and then the next thing like the audience went, yeah, like the five people there, we were like, really, you like that?
And
like,
then the five turned into ten,
and then you know, and so hey, on. And
then it's like a Blues Brothers film where they're throwing them at the band, you know,
right? Yeah, yeah, with the chicken wire.
With the chicken wire and stuff. Yeah.
Good old Filter Blues Brothers band.
Yeah. Has ever been a venue like that though, where they do have that? Have you ever been in one of those?
Chicken wire?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I just always think about Al Jorgensen in 1988 or 1989? No, it was like 1990. And he played at the Rosemont,
the Riviera,
and he had a cage, and it was all chain link.
Yeah.
It was all like covering the stage, and like he was on top of it, like going like dumping Jack Daniels into kids' throats, like literally, like kids, mm-hmm. like yeah, there you go, Uncle.
You can do that nowadays too.
Yeah, back then it was awesome.
We actually have a part of that actual system that they sent us some little pieces of it mm-hmm. when they unwelded it. So we actually have a part of that. So.
Oh wow, yeah. That's badass.
That's here at J. Oh, here it is, right here. Wow, that is an actual part of the.
Dude, that's amazing.
Good. It doubles as a weapon too, just in case you're, you know, somebody tries to carjack you, you can just shank them.
Yeah. Do you think that would happen with these guys?
Yeah. You see them? Yeah. I mean, there are three taut, good-looking men. I'm sure that they're fighting the women and men off. So
it's happening.
That's right.
Well, especially for a married guy.
Yeah.
I'm married. I got a couple of kids.
Mm-hmm. So how is that being a family man and rock and roll? How do you balance that?
Well, the good news is that the kids are being raised in a completely amazing, safe environment mm-hmm. where, like, you know, I my wife and I are just, the whole thing is, I didn't want them to have any kind of, like when I grew up, I was the last of five. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, you know, by the time my parents had me, they're like, Jesus Christ, another one, you know? So I wanted to make sure that like whenever my kid wanted to talk to me, they could just talk to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm just all about them when
You're
I'm
very hands on.
I'm extremely hands on.
Cool.
And we just found out that our girl's going to one of the best schools in Calabasas. Mm-hmm. And we're psyched about it.
Now they how are they with music? Are they like picking up instruments already? Going, you know,
well, Ridley love they're really appreciating it right now. Remember, they're 5 and 3, mm-hmm. so
prime age.
Yeah, they're
this is like their prime time.
Yeah, they're appreciating it really, really well. I mean, Sloan's kind of more of a performer. She's like dancer. She's extremely wow. outgoing.
I see videos. You'll take videos of them singing the songs in the background in the car when you're taking car trips, and they're singing along. It's the cutest thing you'll ever see. But they know all the words, you know. So they obviously dig it.
Like the we have the song, and it's going, "Sit yourself down, motherfucker." Right. All right. And they're in the back going, "Sit yourself down, mother booger, booger." Why would you say mother booger? Like, you know, and they're five. I'm like, that's because it's about boogers. Mother's boogers. Mom's boogers? No, just any mother's boogers. It was just so much fun. I have such a great time. The worst part about it is that I have to do the tour and mm-hmm. run out there and do everything. But, you know, I stay in contact with them. I call them every time. You know, mm-hmm. there's always iChat going on. There's mm-hmm. FaceTime or whatever.
That's so cool.
Skype, anything. So. Yeah.
Now, when are you guys going to have kids?
are you offering?
No.
My clock is ticking.
It's about that time.
You know, it's about that time, yeah. I don't know, Johnny, what are you thinking, honey?
Oh, boy. I don't know. People ask me. I've thought about it before, but I'm too selfish right now, uh-huh. so I don't know. Probably in 10 years or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Well, then it'll be too late. Then it'll be too old.
Then I'll be too old. And then then when they're a teenager, I'm just the dork dad, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It's crazy. So, isn't this exciting, huh?
This guy, I think, dork.
I don't know, man.
This is true rock and roll here.
This is like this is the rock and roll guy.
It happens with everybody. So I'm sure when I'm in my 60s and I'm like, talking to my kid, he's gonna
this.
Hey.
No, but I'm talking about like in my kids' eyes. So you always going to look at your parents sometimes and be like, oh, those my parents. You know what I'm saying?
Unless your dad is Richard Patrick, then I don't think.
Yeah.
It
doesn't matter.
I could see you maybe a graceful 70-year-old on the golf course in the elastic leather pants, you know? Yeah,
elastic leather pants.
Yeah.
He'll still have the boyish figure too. Yeah, so, right. So is it true? You know, I met your parents.
Yes.
At the Metro.
Yes.
And they said that they watched the show religiously before they had you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They were. My parents are musicians. And they've always been.
Wow.
They've always been. I mean, obviously they're.
No, I think that's cool.
It's great. No, that's the thing. They appreciate everything music, obviously in Chicago as well, and they were always fans of it. And so then when early in the Kill Hannah days when we started doing your show, they were just thrilled. I'm like, oh yeah, Jerry's amazing.
So, yeah, and I'm going, this is probably the one success story at JBTV where there was a possibility.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That during an episode of JBTV.
There he was. Yeah. They were watching, like, damn, that show's hot. Come on.
Get off your ass. Start practicing.
I'm born for rock and roll. Where's my guitar?
His mom was here today.
My mom was here today, yeah.
She was just here. Bonnie Herman.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's a big name in the
recording
world.
This is so cool. What a great. I'm just, the music you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you.
And the sound you're getting and the new album and everything. This is just the best. And on this edition of JBTV Filter, they're coming up next. I have Lauren O'Neill from Q877. They're Chicago's underground alternative. And you had a chance here at JBTV. We do a national radio show for Howard 101, which Sirius XM Radio, the Abe Cannon show.
Right.
And you sort of jumped in and did an impromptu interview. How was that?
That was awesome at Sirius. Yeah, it was actually really fun. We started talking about, we hit a lot of crazy subjects.
Gun control.
Yeah.
Tons of stuff. We started talking about Sidney Poitier.
We were talking about Sidney Poitier. And we started talking about
Django.
Django.
Mm-hmm. That movie.
Right.
And the use of the N-word. And then we were like, but then he said Sidney Poitier
told Quentin Tarantino not to hold back.
Not
to go
hold
for
back.
It. So then we got on that.
And so did Jamie Foxx and a lot of other guys. And Spike Lee's making fun of it. And then he started talking about, then they brought up Jungle Fever, which is kind of about interracial relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but Sidney Poitier did the groundbreaking movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was our conversation.
It was very lovely. But always nice to see Ryan Mano.
Yeah, Ryan Mano, Abe Cannon, bass. And it's just a good team there. Yeah. We're so proud to have him here at JBTV. Yeah,
they were a huge, they played Hey Man, Nice Shot and made that record platinum with a lot of other amazing stations in the country. And to him, I am grateful.
Mm-hmm. I still think radio is the most important medium out there because it is still the one-on-one. And when anything really weird happens, like some event, you try to use your cell phone, it doesn't work.
Right.
You know, because they'll shut them down. They like shut us off. Like at the bombings and stuff, all your phones and everything get shut off.
Right.
So it's like you got a cell phone for emergencies.
Right.
But when there's an emergency, you can't get anything. So.
Because they don't want you to communicate on that level, on that one-on-one level, but in a mass... because you guys are pumping out and it's all going out.
Mm-hmm. And we did a
radio,
webcast today.
I still believe radio is completely king to me. I mean, I look at the charts more than I look at, I'm always like,
But radio actually reaches so many people in so many ways that you don't understand because people still listen to radio.
Yeah.
In their cars, driving around, and they're tuning around, You do that when you're on tour, right? You try to listen to some of the local stations and everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's there's XM, but I don't really have XM. I just go to all the radio stations that are in Los Angeles, and I just do the same thing I've been doing.
Do you have a favorite one in LA?
Favorite radio station?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we should probably say
K Rock. 98.7.
Oh, it's not Star anymore?
I think we should just say 98.7.
It's just 98.7, yeah. Uh-huh. It's an alternative format.
Yeah, we did stuff with them a long time ago.
We have K-Rock as well.
K-Rock.
Yeah. Well, that's the original station. Yeah. That's the one that built it. K-Rock, KLOS.
Yeah,
K-Rock.
KBC back in the day.
Yeah.
Those are the good stations. I grew up in L.A., so...
What the shame is, those great radio stations, a lot of them are just automated now, and they're all owned by the same company. It's like... like you guys being in 12 bands at the same time,
right.
And you just go from band to band. Well, it sort of works on you're in another band, sort of. Are you still with Kill Hannah or what's?
Yeah. Everybody's just so busy, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I'm obviously just did this record, and I'm you know we hope to do more as well, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, like everybody, you know, Greg, obviously.
You got to have a lot of gigs
these
days. But I mean, you know, it's like Chester from Linkin Parts in STP, and it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, someone's got to keep the show on the road. And
yeah.
like, you know.
He's got other bands, too, that people don't really know, like Dead by Sunrise.
Dead by Sunrise, with the guys from Orgy.
Yeah.
And Julian K.
Yeah. Yeah, you need other gigs. I mean, Maynard, same thing. I mean, I don't know if he needs it, but. If Tools takes a long time to make a record, then can go off and do Perfect Circle, mm-hmm. then why not do
or
that?
Christopher.
Or Trent with How to Destroy Angels. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I did Army of Anyone. You know,
there's nobody in this band that just does Filter. We all do other things.
Right.
You know, we all have other jobs mm-hmm. and careers and stuff going on.
Philip has a very high profile career for Hardee's.
He does voiceover work.
He's the Hardee's voice guy.
Yeah, we learned that the last time you were here. You were talking about voiceover.
You were kind of happy that we were talking about like Petty Cash and stuff.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Petty Cash is my other band.
Yeah,
it's a Tom Petty, Johnny Cash cover band.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So when are we going to have you on JBTV?
Petty Cash?
Yeah.
Well, let's make that happen now.
Yeah. Great. Make it happen.
He's got covers. It's all Tom Petty, Johnny Cash, but it's a good project.
Johnny Cash was one of those artists that was crossing the boundaries, and they were first in country, and then sort of went into rock and roll, and now he's like considered just a great artist that can go into any format.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. We do a couple of Petty songs as if Johnny Cash were doing them, and it's fun. And everybody in that band is in other things. You had something from The Offspring. Todd Morris, who's their touring guitar player, is one of our singers.
Oh, wow.
There's a band called Ven Rez. I don't know if they've come through here. Two of the guys in Ven Rez are in Petty Cash. Mm-hmm. Juliet and the Licks. Remember that band, Juliet Lewis? The other four guys in Petty Cash were the Licks. That's actually, it started when they were doing the Juliet stuff, and which is actually kind of how I know Johnny.
Yeah, because when I was working, I still do, with Kemble Walters, former guitar player from the Licks and his bandmate in
Petty Cash. But
someone who is actually almost as thin as Johnny. And I say almost.
But I was in a band called Volume, and when I got the call from the previous guitar player that Rich needed a bass player, so I joined Filter. I left Volume. Volume sort of fell apart. Campbell put it back together as a band called the Blank Faces. Johnny was the guitar player in Blank Faces.
Right.
So I called,
and then these guys called me.
Yeah.
And ended my stuff with them.
So I called Campbell the Filter farm team.
And then everybody just started fucking.
And one fucking good time after another.
That's where the babies are coming from. Retina.
Well, this is an awesome edition of JBTV Filter. They're playing live on our JBTV HD stage. JBTV. The one and only 28 years. Can you believe I've been doing this for 28 years?
Wow.
Just for the love of great music. Wow. And you grew up on JBTV,
and that is
the best thing ever.
I used to see you at Marilyn Manson when the first time you ever did Metro. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing you there with the camera. I was just like,
that was a tough concert to shoot. Was it Twiggy on the side? Was it that?
Twiggy was on your side.
Yeah, and he wasn't wearing underwear.
Nope.
And every 2 minutes, I have the camera down there with the wide-angle lens, let me tell you. I'm going, I can't use that shot. I can't use that shot.
For a different show.
Well, it never got on TV, but I'm going, boy, this is a...
Doing the math on that. A wide-angle lens would just make you not look impressive. It just makes everything look real small.
No, wide-angle lenses make things look bigger. It depends on where you place it.
If you're right in the middle of it, it's going to be like
a tuna can. Oh, okay. Well, it's a fisheye lens.
But you know, I had another lens on this camera, and I would stand like really close to the lens, and I would gain like 50 pounds.
Right.
So it would always be cool. Like, the closer you get, the more weight you get, you know?
Yeah. I'm like silenced. You actually got me like speechless. This is so great. I appreciate this so much.
Well, you're the best. This is the best band on the face of the earth. Now, how much degree of separation is it, considering all the bands and everything? Is it 1 degree? Is it 6 degrees?
What?
With all you guys moving around and all the connections and everything?
From Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
How many degrees to Bacon?
Well, right.
I'm 1 degree from Kevin Bacon on a different scale.
I'm 1 degree because my brother.
I knew this was was going to come. I knew this was going to happen. I sort of dated his niece for quite a while.
Are you serious?
So,
totally kidding about the Kevin Bacon thing.
1 degree of separation here at JBTV.
I was in the movie Very Brady Sequel with Tim Matheson, who was in Animal House with Kevin Bacon.
I think my brother works with Kevin Bacon on a movie.
We're down to a quarter degree of separation.
So
I've seen him in Malibu. Does that count?
Wow. Yes, totally.
Isn't that amazing how 6 degrees become totally obsolete? It's now one or less.
Right.
Yeah. Damn internet. Well, anyhow.
1 degree away from President Barack Obama, because Jessica Darrow has worked on his campaign.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Greg and DJ, when I say
Greg DJ'd for the president.
Shit, there he is too. 0 degrees.
Hey, Greg, you gonna come
look
in
how
here?
How ready he is.
Yeah.
He's like so like that is good for you, man.
Greg's the best. He's helping me out here put everything together. And we got Lauren O'Neill from Q877. Now, Lauren, you got some questions for the band?
Of course.
Okay, Lauren O'Neill from Q87. She's with Chicago's Underground Alternative, and you can check them out all around America at Q877.
.com.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she is awesome on the radio.
Aww.
Good radio station. Now, you got some good questions for the band here?
I do.
Okay, she's coming up next right here, right now on JBTV.
We haven't actually, didn't even get to shake hands. I've just been running around like, hi, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. Nice to meet you. Very pretty eyes.
Thank you very much.
Richard Patrick said I have pretty eyes.
I'm not flirting. Very.
No, not at all.
Married guys can just say the truth because I'm already taken, so what's up? You know what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely.
You know
I agree.
What I'm saying? Why not spread the reality?
Just,
like, hey, pretty eyes.
Facts,
really. Boom.
Thank you very much.
Right there. Boom. You know? Pretty eyes. There you go.
You have pretty eyes, too.
Thank you.
You all have pretty eyes.
No, just kidding.
No. You look amazing, actually.
I appreciate that.
And you
that.
Sound amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
John, I'm over here.
Give us a moment, guys.
Really? Why are you guys?
So, I mean, God, the legend of Filter is just unreal, and you've been doing this band for 20 years.
Yeah.
And you sound so crazy good. Do you have secrets on how you maintain your voice?
I just do warm-ups, and I go to the doctor when I'm sick, and that's kind of what it's supposed to make everything perfect.
That's it?
Yeah, and no surgeries yet or anything like that. So, but it's basically just warming up and living life very, like, mellow and, you know, not too much, like, caffeine. I'm really glad that I stopped smoking because that's a hard one.
Yeah.
You know, don't go to bed with any... red sauce from pasta. He can't.
Wait, these are secrets. These are things that people don't
reflux,
think about.
Acid reflux. Take Prevacid AC.
Okay.
Take Mucinex.
Check.
Take Mucinex to give your throat the get rid of any kind of hard mucus.
We were talking about this the other day. Just like the crazy, you know, people come up to us and say like, "So what's it like being in a rock band?" And then you know, like, "You guys are like drugs on the bus." I'm like, "Hell yeah, we got Advil, Elite,
wellness, vitamin
Ben
C,
Gay,
vitamin
all
C,
all that Prevacid."
Yeah,
you're like, "This is not our first rodeo. It's not even like that anymore."
I survived the '90s, and now it's all good.
That's good. You survived the '90s and come out on the better end of it, I think.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Cool. The new album, I am so looking forward to. I don't think I've been this excited about anything. Maybe besides just working with Jerry. But
Jerry is badass.
Other than that, The Sun comes out tonight. I mean, when I first... If you go to officialfilter.com, by the way, you can download We Hate It When You Get What You Want for free right now. And that was the first song I heard, and I was just like, fuck yes!
Cool.
Filter's back!
Thank you.
Please tell me about that song. Where did that one come from?
We Hate It When You Get What You Wanted is kind of like the prestigious few who take everything really seriously and kind of like drive the cool hot car because that's, you know, just the label whores or just the and they'll do anything. They'll do anything to get what they want. They'll mow you down. They'll some of the, you know, you hear stories about Wall Street guys just like, you know, well, if I buy this company, which is what Mitt Romney did. He's like, if I buy this company,
don't get me started on that.
Yeah. if I buy this company and get rid of all the old sentimental workers that are there and clean it up, I can sell it in 6 months and at a 10% profit and make $100 million and then leave them. And then just, and it's just like, wow, how many you know, if I fire 8,000 people, no one's going to care because I'm making more money, you know. So
especially if you do it on inauguration day, then no one will notice.
Yeah.
I'm not angry or anything. So it's
I'm as liberal as it gets, I think. I consider myself an extremist, which is actually pretty moderate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the far right makes, I mean, the far right makes like even the middle look even crazy. Like they're still talking about abortion. They're still talking about, you know, they're still talking about God in school. They're still talking about like this wild shit. Anyways, so it's about fuckers that drive around in fucking golf carts and, you know. And
I'm glad to hear that because it's, you know, you first hear the name of the song and we hate it when you get what you want. It's like as Richard Patrick just being a hater and maybe had a bad day or what?
I was a little kid, you know. I was a caddy at one of these country clubs and I just remember like there was really some cool people. There was a lot of really cool people. And then there were like the dicks. You know, there were like these just a few of them were just like really dicky. Like, I'm a 14-year-old kid. I'm carrying your bags around so you can play golf, and you're giving me shit because you hit your ball into the rough, into the next fairway, and I can't find it, and I got to run over there with your bags and go look for your ball. You know what I mean? Like really kind of crappy, you know, experience with some of them. And to me, it buys into that country club mentality that where, you know, the whole idea is to be wealthy and get there to the top and be the fucking top and, you know, and crush everybody in the way. And so I don't know. I have some bad memories from childhood. But
do you want to talk about it? So
we have this new video actually. It's just going to come out soon. What?
I was thinking about the picture you posted. Like, I wonder how much water does it take for all these rich people to play golf? And I wasn't at the video shoot, and I saw the picture, and I was like, that's my parents' country.
Oh.
And I used to be a member there.
Yeah, that's actually the actual more liberal of the country clubs.
Yeah, there, in that area.
And that's why they let us do the video.
Yeah, it's like the middle class, mm-hmm. you know, people who actually like to play golf, and they're not country club people. There is,
well, if you're playing
a country club, yes, yeah, well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, a lot lower. Here's more of what I was talking about. Like when I was a kid, like, you know, I'd be like, hey dad, how come there's no like black kids or there's no black members or anything? He's like, well, you know, when you're a caddy, they call you spook. And I'm like, yeah, that they call us spook. Why do they call us spook? And he's like, well, because no black person's going to want to be called spook. So that's how we keep everybody white. And I'm like, now my dad was relaying what they
sure.
were, but he was fully against it, hated having to go there, went there because of his job, because that's where they made deals. You know, that's where they play a round of golf and impress you with this, you know, this membership and all this stuff and this social clique. And the reality was, is that, you know, he really just wanted to play golf. Mm-hmm. So like he, you know, so within society, you know, you know, there's rock musicians that want to have a great time and party and mm-hmm. have fucking a million girls and everything like that. This band has always had a little bit of a social conscience. And I've always brought up things that were just like really upsetting. Like Hey Man, I Shot is about the R. Bud Dwyer, you know, mm-hmm. footage where the guy like blew his head off at a press conference. And to me, that's an amazing like social event, then, and you can't just call it crazy because he had a whole bunch of reasons. He might have been depressed, he might have been crazy, but why did he do that? In Eastern civilizations, it's a sign of like, it's like the right thing to do. Well, you fucked this up, go kill yourself. You know, like that's the way it is. So just understanding that, to me, that's like a conversation. Let's talk about crazy stuff. And it just happens that it's the main focus in music for me, you know, on a lot of it. So going back to like, what do you say is the video is a bunch of kids that are screwing around and jump a fence to a country club and start, you know, basically, you know, just screwing around in a country club. And then all of a sudden, the golfers get super pissed and the kids kind of defend themselves and start basically assaulting all the members. And then it goes into this whole thing where they're in the dining room and I'm a waiter and he's a cook. And then we we have this whole video, and the kid, the members are getting really pissed, and they're attacking the kids. And the kids were like, wanted to make a prank where they stole everybody's wallets. It looks like a robbery, but the big spoiler alert: the big thing is they pour all the wallets out of a bag, put it on the floor, and burn the wallets because it's like, you know, that's not who you are.
This is based somewhat in reality from a piece of your past that has been embellished a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it was inspiring to the video maker, who's Kyle Thrash, and he actually came up with this whole thing on his own, and I just was like, you know, like Johnny and I were like you know, Fight Club or
Funny Games.
We were thinking like on that level, kind of what the 99%, you know, that kind of an issue. But then he took it and ran. I'm like, man, you're beating people up. You're assaulting people in our video. He's like, yeah. Like, and so I was like, all right, if the label wants to do it.
He's like, it's rock and roll. Relax.
Yeah. So I was okay with, I mean, as soon as they said they were okay with it, I was like, great, let's do it. And it is. It's a great little short film about shit getting out of hand. Just things getting out of hand.
I say we check it out right now.
Yeah. What do you say?
Filter, what do you say on JBTV?
Lewis. It's not like it matters anyway. What's gonna happen here? We're gonna laugh about it all one day.
So the video for that song is a bunch of derelict kids that kind of look like these guys break into a country club, pull a couple of pranks, it goes badly. Some of the members die of the country club. You know who country clubs are, right? It's where the rich man counts all his money and plays the golf. And I don't know why I gave him a sinister German accent, but I thought it was funny, so I just did it. And I was the one to go, damn, are we pushing the limit? And the record company's like, no, fuck you. Are you sure they should kill the people in the thing? Yes. And you die in it too. I'm like, great. My voice. How's your voice? 2 weeks off. Kind of fucks with it, doesn't it? Kind of fuck me. I had 2 weeks off. I said to see, never take a vacation in the middle of the work season. You know what I'm saying?
We're back on JBTV. I'm Lauren with Q877 here with Filter. Did you say Star Wars?
Yeah, this is my X-Wing fighter. And it's a big red five.
I don't mean to be
Luke Skywalker.
A non, what are they called?
That's an X-Wing fighter. I'm a dork. Let's just, everybody kind of knows at this point that I just got into Star Wars when I was a kid, and now my kids are into it. So I'm like, yeah, Star Wars time. And my son's just like, he watches the movies and he's like, nah, goes right back to the toys. You know, he's like into the toys. He doesn't care at all about like, he just likes playing with dad.
So. There may or may not be a framed Star Wars poster in his bedroom.
That's not a big deal.
My brother Robert is Robert Patrick. My brother.
I've heard of him, I think.
He did a movie with Harrison Ford called Firewall. And I said, dude, I've never asked for a thing from you. I've never asked from, you know, one thing from you. And I want to keep it that way. But I'm at a Star Wars convention. And he's like, dude, Harrison Ford came up to me and he's got a In-N-Out burger stuffed in his mouth and he's trying to shake my hand with half In-N-Out burger all over his hand. And he's like, what's the matter, Rob? He does not take anything seriously. He's like, he's super light on set. But I said, Rob, you got to hook it up. So I FedExed a poster to Robert and then Harrison signed it.
Aww. And now it's framed.
He said, to Richard, best wishes, Harry Ford. So,
badass. And then I framed it.
Aww. If it makes you feel any better, I had a R2-D2 nightlight from my father growing up, but it didn't stick either.
Yeah. You don't like Star Wars?
It's not that I dislike it. I could take it or leave it.
You,
I haven't
you
seen...
like rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like rock and roll more than anything, too. So, I mean, it's like rock and roll and like a lot of...
And then Star Wars.
I don't even know if Star Wars is my favorite movie. I'd have to say my all-time favorite movie is The Deer Hunter.
I've never seen that one.
That's a good one. Robert Duvall, Christopher Walken.
There's a band called the Deer Hunter, or Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
It's true.
They hunt deers?
Or what? It's true.
Well, you said Robert Duvall, it's Robert De Niro.
Oh, I'm sorry, Robert De Niro.
Okay.
Yeah, De Niro, Walken.
Yeah, right.
I'll have to look into that one.
Yeah. It's one of his best performances.
Meryl.
some guys won the Oscar for that.
Yeah.
Some did.
Little crappy movie, you know, won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Deer Hunter. Just never seen it. That's all right though. We're gonna hang.
You can teach me. You can teach me about Star Wars. Okay. I can teach you. Well, you said you listen to different radio stations when you're out and you're touring.
You can teach me anything you want.
That's on tape. I mean, I'm keeping that.
That's like the old creepy 45 year old. Yeah, what's up, baby?
It was a little creepy.
It was it?
Doesn't it?
That's kind of. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
We turned that corner.
You know what? I'm not embarrassed.
That's all right. So, as you've been traveling around,
yes.
Have you had a chance to listen to any new bands? Is there anybody that you're really excited about right now?
I always fall back on the Deftones, no matter where I'm at. Swerve City is an amazing song. I love the Deftones. Yeah.
They were just here in Chicago.
I do like the Virgin Marys.
They were just on JBTV.
Mm-hmm. I like a lot of the stuff. I like a lot of the stuff out there. I'm really open to music. I you know, I, I, geez, I, you know, I mean, my kids make me listen to Carrie what's her name? Katy Perry. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was that getting you back for the Star Wars stuff?
Yeah, that was, I guess. I guess. But Skrillex and Deadmau5 and just, what do you listen to?
I mean, we're kind of still in our own world for just a lot of the time that, like, when I listen to stuff, I just go back to my favorites, you know, Catherine Wheel, Nine Inch Nails, that's all that kind of stuff. But there are some great new bands that are, you know, that we've had the pleasure of doing some festival stuff with. And, you know, yeah, like he said, Virgin Marys are pretty cool. Dead Sarah is a really cool band from Hollywood. You know,
you were also on JBTV.
Right. Yeah, so
my old drummer produced their record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
it's just this crazy cool stuff. Circle of musicians. Just everybody knows everybody. Everybody's.
It's pretty incestuous.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Cool. Yeah. Why don't we check out Dead Sarah right now?
Yes.
Nice.
What's your favorite Dead Sarah song?
Oh, I don't know. I just kind of like them all.
You know, the big one.
Weatherman's good.
Weatherman is rad. Weatherman's my favorite.
Awesome. Or yeah. Lemon Scent is badass.
Lemon Scent,
too.
Yeah. Yep.
They're great.
All right. Dead Sarah, right here on JBTV.
Yeah.
JBTV, thank you for having us. Have a good day.
Well, that was awesome, huh? Did you have fun with them?
Yeah,
I'm creepy.
it was just a sliver of creepiness. It wasn't full-blown creepy.
I don't think anything was creepy. Jeez.
Made her sweat.
Yeah.
Did you really? I'm getting hot too.
She's hot and bothered. Hey. Well, it's a great edition of JBTV Filter. They're playing live. And stay tuned for a lot more music.
Please let them hear you. Filter! Filter! Filter!
So glad to be back. It's kind of shy town. Hey, Marcus! Again, that's my friend from Die Warsaw. Marcus, are you? We toured together back in 19. I haven't said it. 19. So it's like really bad. Before the turn of the century, him and I rocked out when we were on tour with Nine Inch Nails. You guys want to play this? Are we ready? Is everybody ready? We're not ready. So we're going to do a variety of stuff tonight. We're going to play like 5 songs. Is that cool?
Cause I'm eating. Head full of noise, I can't think, cause it's crushing.
That sounds good. That sounds real. You guys sound great. Hey, can I get less vocals in my thingy? My ears. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to fucking keep rocking out. Is that all right? We're on the webs. As George Bush would say, we're on the Googles and the internets. Let's keep it rolling. Jurassitol. You guys know that song, Jurassitol? Yeah! That was written for the Crow 2 soundtrack. And it was badass, and it's badass now. That's what we're gonna do. That's what we gonna do. Yeah, let me assert a micro rock concert. Just put the hands up. Let's see what that looks like.
Yeah! one more time.
How's the young people doing? How's the slightly older, but still okay, there you go. It's just a number, man. It's kind of cool to see our generation grow up, though. Because look at the other guys, they kind of sucked. World War II guys are cool, but not the Cold War dudes. Those guys sucked. Hey, you ever been in Moscow? This song is called We Hate It When You Get What You Wanted. Songs are brand new because honestly we don't fucking know what we're doing yet. And I speak for myself and anyone else that might have made a mistake in the song. Who might be on the same stage with me. No, I'm not pointing any fingers, Donnie. Because I remember this amazing time in music when the nerds fucking became the rock stars. It's called the grunge era. Like, I was like, Kurt Cobain's not even playing in tune. And then I was kind of like, man, that's badass. Because that's what it's all about. Right? Well, we are industrial as well, so, you know, you're going to have some sounds, some programming work. Right? Industrial boy right here.
The
song is called Hey Man, Nice Shots. That's how we do that. We're gonna hang out, sign some autographs. You guys wanna hang out? Cool. Thank you. All right, I'm going off the stage now.
Well, there you go, another great edition of JBTV. Now, this has been your show from downtown Chicago. We have the Chicago Connection happening here. Filter number one. Weren't they great?
They're so amazing.
Ah, this is awesome. So you can check us out at jbtvonline.com, Twitter, Facebook, and a lot more. So till next time, this is Jerry Bryant from the Windy City saying bye-bye, stay high, and keep on rocking and rolling with the best modern rock and roll anywhere in the world. And it's all here on JBTV. And on this edition, Filter number one.
There you go, the JBTV podcast, where we bring you the best music, the best interviews, and it's all unscripted and totally unrehearsed. Follow us on all the social media and spread the word. This is JBTV Music Television, the JBTV podcast. JBTV.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.